Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your favorite sous chef in the building, D Mobius, aka Darren, which that's reversed because that's my real name. Anyway, we're here on Straight Cheese, No Lettuce Podcast with our favorite guest here today, who is also the host. For some reason, I don't know why we're doing this.
Because the fans loved the first episode, they wanted a second one. And I'm much obliged. And I will.
Appreciate all the feedback you've been giving us.
Yes.
We really appreciate it.
Yes, all nine of y'all.
Damn, nine?
It's a work in progress, my friend.
Gotta grow that audience somewhere. So, what's your name, fella?
My name is Alpha Insanity, a.k.a. Matthew Newton. Damn it, I did the same thing again. But I am the host, except for this episode, but I am the host and the owner of the Straight Cheese, No Lettuce Show. And I decided to give the reins to my best friend of 30 years, as well as my sous chef, I remember from last episode, my sous chef, Mr., well, he already introduced himself, and, yeah, I'm still getting working on the intros, but I decided to let him take the reins, so I'm sitting in the interview chair. He's going to ask the questions, and let's get this started.
All right. That's fine. It's a little bit of a change of pace, so. So, I know, if you remember last time we ended off, we were talking about relationships, and then we talked about a little bit of something else after that, but we were mostly talking about relationships to end with, if you remember. You remember the last bits?
Yeah.
Of our conversation last time.
Yeah, we mostly talked about what builds a relationship, but we mostly talked about my parents' relationship and how they gave you the space. I try to re-listen to the episode, and I try to listen to it on the way up here, but I remember we were talking about my parents' relationships at the last. The topic was relationships, and we got on my parents' relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we started talking about the things that you learned from your parents. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you next, which we kind of veered off into a different subject, but I was going to ask you next, like, how do you, the stuff that you learned from your parents, how do you use that, or how do you use what you've learned from them to shape how you feel or what you think about relationships now?
I'll get into that, but as I am the owner, I need to say this real quick. If I say anybody's names or anything in here, it's not out of hatred or malice. It's just that we're trying to have a honest-to-God open discussion, so there is no warning, no ill will, and you can come to me if you feel like I without a turn. I don't mind talking to y'all, but... Oh, that's our editor telling me to move on. To back to your question, you asked me to refresh my memory. You asked me what relationship advice, what advice I learned from my parents in the day to day life.
No, not necessarily what advice, but out of the advice that you have learned,
what do I use?
What do you use, and how do you use it to shape how you feel about relationships in the present and modern day and in your own life?
The easiest answer would probably be that no two relationships are the same, so the same advice that works for one won't work for another. But also, if you have problems with your significant other, and I probably repeat myself, but talk to each other first and keep it tight and keep it between y'all. Like, the more people that's in your business, the more you have different opinions, and it could make a small situation that much worse. So if you have an issue with someone, sit down and have a conversation with them, because it'd be simple if you just talk it out. But I've seen, just from my experience, when people have a disagreement, especially in relationships when they have a disagreement, they go and they talk to someone else, and it blows it out of proportion, and it makes a small scale, you know, like a little fight into a blown out, this could be the end of the relationship type of argument. And then when you look back on it, be like, we should have just probably just kept it to ourselves. My thing on relationships, but this is just me growing up, just watching, is that I think people get together for love, which is the correct reason for it. But y'all stay in relationships out of malice. I've noticed growing up too. It's like
oh my goodness, that's my daughter.
But I've seen people be together for like 10, 15, 20 years, and they just can't stand each other. They'd be like, until death do us part. Yeah, you first, motherfucker. You go first before I do. And I'm like, why do they stay each other? And then you hear some, usually the old heads, and sometimes even newer people, like, it's better to stay with someone that you tolerate better than trying to try something new every time things get rough. So, it's a mixed bag for me.
Well, how is it for you?
Oh, I'm single right at this point in my life, and I'm happy being single. I'll be like 90% I'm happy being single. 10% there's sometimes I come home, I want to talk with somebody, but you know, it's beggars can't be choosers when it comes to relationships. I'm not just going to be with someone just to have a, you know, body in the sheets next to me.
Yeah. And you know, I was also thinking like of my own ideas of relationships and out of my own ideas of relationships and what we talked about, I know about probably a week or so ago, dealing with relationships. Do you think that our ideas of relationships are a bit idealistic, especially compared to what we have going on in the world now?
Yes, and I blame all those rom-coms and all those sitcoms that came on the shows all the time. They perpetrated or portrayed a certain idealistic idea of what a relationship should be about. Yes, you're going to have fights, but at the end, love conquers all and all stuff, and you will find the right person no matter what you're going through. No, that's not how life is. That's not how a relationship is, and that's not how life in general is. Just because, and I say this with sincerity, just because you love that person next to you, does that mean they're the right person for you? You can love somebody, but if you know they're abusive, it's going to be a very difficult relationship. And I'm talking to someone who actually had a friend. She didn't, don't mind me talking about this because she's open about it herself. She was in a relationship for 10 years, and the guy was just really abusive, and she left, and she didn't know why she stayed so long. And I asked her, why'd you stay so long? She said, because I loved him. And I thought our love was going to like make him see the error of his ways, and he was going to fix. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. So she broke it off, and I think she moved. And she took her kid with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So sometimes, and then last time I talked to her, she's with someone new right now, and she's happier than she's ever been. And he found someone else, and he's doing just as fine. So,
yeah. Yeah, and do you think abuse goes on a lot in relationships nowadays?
Yes, but not just physical. When people think of abuse, people immediately go to physical. And it's not always physical. It's sometimes mental and emotional. And I'll even go with spiritual abuse. We just don't see it because, you know, there's no marks to show. And the problem is sometimes, depending on how your upbringing is, which I'm thankful for my parents and their way of showing me what love is, and basically is that the person who's in those type of relationships, not physical, they don't know they're being abused. They're just so used to it that it's the norm. They don't know until after they leave and be like, wow, that relationship's fucked up. Why did I stay so long? And it's like, because it was so normal to you.
Yeah, it ends up stay in it for a little while, and it just gets. It's like you know, throwing a frog in a pot of water, and you slowly turn up the temperature. The frog doesn't know what's going on until it's cooked. That's just it. It's just over with. Mm-hmm. So I get that too. Yeah, I didn't actually know you were gonna go there, but that was a very solid take on that. I agree with you on that.
I like to go back, refer back to the first episode. Didn't I tell y'all, all nine of y'all, of my viewers, that when I say something profound, it shocks the hell out of my friends and family? Living proof right there. Ain't that right, D-Mobius?
Look, I ain't used to this man speaking some sense now.
Because I'm laid back. Those who know me is the fact that I say crazy stuff just to keep the, you know, the group chat alive and funny and stuff. But when it gets down to serious, when you ask me a serious question, I will give you a serious answer. But one last thing. It is so hard to find someone that wants you for you. And this comes from a guy who's been single since he was 20. I'm 35 now, so it is so hard.
What do you mean?
It's hard to find, like I just said, it's hard to find what is true love, because you think you find someone like, oh, I like you. You like me? I like you too. Let's date. And then you realize, what is it really is? Is it, do you love me because I look good? Or is it because I don't give a shit about your bullshit? Or do I remind you of, or am I a safe haven? So
someone that they feel like they can be themselves with.
That's the whole nature of relationship. You let down your guard. I remember an old story back in English class that's still stick with me. It's a story about we all wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And only true people know what you are. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for that one person that you can take all your mask off. The mask out for public, mask around family. You can say, this is me. Do you want me from who I really am? And you'd be like, yeah. But it feels like some people just like, they're just putting on a facade, even in the relationships. Sorry, I watch a lot of documentaries, and you know, you hear those people after they find out that their significant other was like a criminal, they'd be like, it's like I don't know them anymore. You never knew them to begin with.
Yeah, and I guess that's a thing too, because I've witnessed that in a couple of my own relationships too. It's like, what do you even do about that? And I'm not necessarily asking you for relationship advice. I'm just like, well, one, I feel like I'm pretty perceptive and empathetic, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything like that, but I can feel that coming from the other person. But it's like, okay, well, when I see that, when I hear that, when I feel that, you know, this person has their mask on, even in front of me at home, like, what do I even do about that?
If you think your feelings for each other, y'all feelings are for each other are pure, you stand there and let he or she or they chip away. Because some people just need patience. It just takes time. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they feel like, oh, this person is safe to be around, and they start chipping away, until finally it's, there they are, bare face and all, saying, this is who I am, do you accept me? And then it's up to you to, like, I accept you for who you are. It's like, we need to discuss some things. But I'm glad you're not taking my relationship advice from someone who doesn't have one, but I'm also glad the fact that, you know, but I'm glad that you actually know to address faults. Unlike, I hate to go on a tangent, I may in a minute, but I hate these red pills or these blue, I don't even like the term, but I don't like these all male relationship shows, all these dating podcast shows, when y'all basically are talking about the same thing. Y'all answers are pretty much the same motherfucking thing. Y'all just on two different things.
Nah, here we go with your red pill rant.
I'm not red pill. I'm not none of that. I am me. I know you didn't call me that, but I don't like that. Red pill, the whole, I'm a top tier alpha and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. The name Alpha Insanity, I gave that name to myself back in the ninth grade. It was a joke, and I just like the fact that if you put the initials, it stands for AI. Because one of my favorite ball players is Allen Iverson. That was the joke. Now the nickname has been exposed, I might not never use it again. But,
boo.
Oh, shut up. But this whole thing about what a perfect man is, what a perfect woman is, there is no such thing as a perfect person. If you think you can, you only can make that if you create them in a video game or something like that, or you draw them.
That is freaking crazy. And that's something that I probably will come back to in a little bit, like, later, way later on, is this whole podcast situation with Red Pill stuff and all of these people trying to tell you how to work your relationship. Because I know that's been a big thing for you that you've had your gripes about. But I definitely got to get more of your take on it.
Okay.
But I'll probably come back to that. I'll probably circle back around to that later. But, yeah. So, like, enough of relationships for right now. And while you were over here talking about Allen Iverson, I wanted to gift you a jersey that was given to me by a friend of mine. Here you go. It is number 3 Miami Heat.
Dwayne Wade.
It's not in the best condition, but
I don't care. I like it. I don't get jerseys a lot, so I might like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Junior's before, and they were cleaning out some of their stuff, so he was like, "You want it?" I'm like, "I know exactly who I can get this to."
Yay. Christmas came early. Christmas came early for me.
Don't say I ain't never done nothing nice.
I mean, you're talking to me on my own show. I can't thank you enough, brother. But I am a Houston Rockets fan, but I love D-Wade as a player. Like, he was one of my favorite players watching. But so, thank you.
You're welcome. I wasn't going to wear it, so I was like, I might as well give it to somebody who will.
That sounds like a backhanded compliment, but also like, here you go, here's something for you. I would never wear it, but I know you would. Like, huh. But it's a thought that counts. He knows I like basketball is a big thing growing up in my childhood. It was one of my favorite sports. So.
Oh my God, the days where we would just be up in your driveway playing basketball.
Until my brother shows up and then he plays one of us one-on-one, beats mm-hmm. the first one, then he comes to say that you want to go to, and they're like, all right. And then we beat us both. I'm like, well, that was stupid.
Or the days we were just sitting in there playing NBA Street Volume 2.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those were the days. The best. Oh, speaking of which, I know we talked a lot about our early life in the other show.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to know kind of, like, when we parted ways, you know, after we graduated high school, when you went to college and I went to college, we went to two separate colleges.
Yes. Both HBCUs.
Both HBCUs. Both state universities.
I just realized that.
Yes. Yes. I went to Tennessee State University. You went to Alabama State University.
I'm so used to calling it TSU. I keep forgetting that the S and TSU is state.
State, yes. Yes, Negro.
No, I mean... I admit that I know TSU stands for Tennessee State University. At the time, I didn't think about it because when I went to Alabama State, unless you was on campus, you don't say ASU. Unless you were talking about, like, you're going against A&M, something like that.
Yeah.
And the reason is because there is another ASU out there, Arizona State. So what I used to say, when people say, like, oh, you used to go to ASU. Yes, I went to Alabama State.
Yeah.
That way they won't think of Arizona State. But when I think of TSU, I just say TSU. When I say a TSU, I just say TSU. Yeah. I don't say Tennessee State because there is no other, I don't think so.
Texas. And whenever I told somebody I went to TSU, they would always say, Texas? Texas State? No.
You see? Unless you put an HBCU in front of it, they don't know. That's why I always say Alabama State. I never say ASU unless I'm on campus or unless it's the Magic City Classic. Because then I always say A&M versus ASU. Then you understand.
Because everybody knows. At Classic Weekend, you already know. You already know what's happening.
Yeah, so... Because that actually happened one time. I said, oh, I was talking to somebody. I said, oh, I spent some time at ASU. Arizona State? No, Alabama State. And then I thought about it. unless you talk about the Magic City Classic, or unless you're on campus, you say ASU. But if you're off, you say Alabama State.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to what you were saying.
You know, I was just going to ask you, like, what your experience was like after you left home for a little while.
I was completely homesick. I was not prepared for the amount of loneliness I was at Alabama State.
And so you stayed in the dorms?
Most of the time, yes.
Yeah.
Like, first year, I was like, I don't know anybody. I'm not good at making friends. I'm not good at introducing myself. Because I usually meet people through accident. We met on a project. If you remember, the Caterpillar project. That's how we met. And
did
the swing. And the swings.
I remember. I don't remember, like, honestly, I don't remember the very first time I met you. I just remember us pushing each other on the swings and becoming friends.
Okay. But back to the main point. So I would spend most of my time in the dorm room. And sure enough, that paid dividends because my grades were actually pretty decent at State my first year. Then when I got a little older, I got a little too, like, I guess I didn't want to try to be the big man on campus. I was trying to be, just be more out there. And my grades started to slip.
Be more out there how?
Just like, hey, if there's a party, just show up. If there's something going on campus, just show up or something. But even then, I would, any chance I get, I would come straight home.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was at home every other weekend. Unless it was a 3-day weekend. Unless I got a big project at school.
You mean at home as in like...
Going to my parents' house and...
Oh, back in Birmingham at your parents' house.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how many miles my dad put on that on the truck going back and forth getting me. And I should have listened to my mom's advice and like, you probably started at community college first, didn't go to State. And I was like, nah, I got accepted. I'm going. And I, lesson learned. And then got depressed and all stuff. And I was like, you know what? Let me go to community college. And then my folks were like, if you go to community college, you can't leave until you graduate. And I was like, okay. And then I got my diploma from Lawson State.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Got your associates.
Mm-hmm. Now, the only I don't have any regrets in my life, but I would have loved to go back to State to finish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would love to go back to State and finish. But I wouldn't walk. Just give me my diploma and let me leave.
So, I get that too, because I feel like if I were to ever go back to TSU and finish, I wouldn't want to walk there. And my story with TSU is so much and so complicated. I don't even feel like telling it right now. We'll probably do that later. But
now my question, I know you're the interviewer.
Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, would you do the same major?
Yeah, major's fine. I don't care. Well, actually, I probably would change my major. I'd probably change it from biology to chemistry.
I'd probably be the same, but I'll actually go into law. Like pre-law. I like criminal justice, but I also like English too, but I would probably try to lean more into law and make criminal justice my minor. And stuff like that, because the criminal justice system was always interesting to me. It was second right behind writing, by the way. But it's always, that would be the main reason I think many people, some people want to go back to school, they just don't want to go back to their major, but they're so far into their major, be like, might as well just push this out, you know?
So did you have any idea that you might get that homesick where, you know, you'd be coming home that often? Or because I think at the time your sister stayed in Montgomery too, right?
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was so sorry for the pause, but I didn't think I was going to be that deprived of home, being home, until I have it. You don't know what you miss until you don't have it anymore.
I mean, shoot, it happened to me too, but like, and there was no way that I could have known that it would hit me the way that it did. But, like, it was just, because I had never heard of it hitting like it hit you.
I don't know how to explain it. It's just that I would go home and on something that I'd be eating. There'd be my mom upstairs, my dad upstairs, my brother would come by when he can, you know, stuff like that. I have my room, and then to be shipped off to Montgomery, like, hey, okay, we're gone. And then it'd be like, first couple days, hey, ain't so bad. And then a week passed, still ain't no nothing. It didn't really hit me until about a month or two later when school was out. And the only way I could reach anybody was to call them. Because I didn't want to bother my sister all the time, but I would, you know, talk to her from time to time. So, and then sometimes if I really needed to, like, get away from the school, I would ask her to let me stay over her place for a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wash clothes and other stuff. But it would just, like,
how often?
Ooh. I would wash my clothes at her place every Sunday.
Okay, so, like, every week?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, again, unless I had, like, a big project or, like, a three-day weekend, I'll just, like, tough it out. I'll just tough it out, just stay. But every other time, I would be back home.
Man, that's something else.
But now that I'm older, I'm like, it's fun being by myself. I get to do whatever the fuck I want to do. Reasonably.
Reasonably? As long as you're not hurting anyone.
True.
Yeah. And, well, kind of, something that I wanted to go over to with you, which I'm not even sure if you want this to be in here or not, but we could talk about it.
Okay.
I remember you mentioning to me, when we talked over the last couple of weeks, that you had actually been sexually assaulted, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you want to go over that experience?
Yeah, it's not too fun. Sure.
I know it's not a happy thing to talk about.
No, it's one of those kind of things where it's like, it happened, I'm mad that it happened. But, like, it does not destroy me, you know? Like,
right. So, I guess give me the time, the date, the setting first.
I don't. That's the thing. It's been so far back. It's been so long. It was not. It's like, it was. It was. I know it was a weekend. I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I was going to, like, here's the thing. When I first got my apartment, I loved going. The first thing I did, well, I didn't do it at my parents' place, I went to the strip club. And, you know, lesson learned, probably know better now, but I still like going from time to time. But anyway, there was this one of the dancers out there that really took a liking to me and all the stuff. And I told her one time that, like, if I save enough money, I'll do a VIP with her. And I put some money away. We went to the VIP. We went to the back, and the VIP was kind of secluded. So we went back there, and she got way into it, and she started, you know, touching me and stuff. And I told her, and I was enjoying it at first, and then I suddenly, like, it didn't feel right, so I told her to stop, mm-hmm. and she didn't stop, and she just kept going and stuff.
Mm.
And then she was like, "You okay?" And I said I was fine. At the time, I was, and then she left, and then I got up, and I went home, and I went to sleep. I woke up, and I just act like, well, that happened, and I just went up, and I went home, and I went to my parents' house, and, you know, went the day by, and everything went by normally. And then I went back not, like, 3 or 4 weeks later, found out she got in trouble and got let go. I never figured out what she got in trouble for. I just, like, okay. And then I start thinking about it. It's like, did I get assaulted or not?
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those kind of things where it's like, did I get assaulted or not or what? And then that's why I never used the term for me.
Mm.
Because I don't feel like a victim And I don't want to toss those words out lightly, because those words has power to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
And I have, after I went through some things dealing with that, I got sexually assaulted. I went through the same thought pattern. Like, did this really happen? Should I really call it that? Or what should I do? And I was like, it took me nearly about a decade and some therapy to really call it what it was. And yeah, I do believe that shit is that. But it's a good thing that you hadn't let it impact what you got going on in your life and your thought processes and things.
I mean, like I said, I didn't think of the time, even when you blatantly told me, it's like, yeah, I think you was that. I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many people out there who, even though, in fact, this is the reason why I made this podcast, so they come out and tell stories, I don't say it for myself. Like, I know that incident happened to me, but I don't hold any ill will to the woman. I don't have any issues with her. I don't have no issues with the industry or anybody who works in the industry or who formerly worked in the industry. I have no issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
It just one of those kind of things where it just went too wild, you know? It was like a wild night, and I was like, okay.
Mm.
And I'm not shrugging off as like, oh, he doesn't care. I do care. If you feel like he was, you know, hurt in that way, you need to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like, it was just a wild night, you know? It's like, I just shook it off and just kept going.
Yeah, yeah. And I do. And I think I mentioned to you in our conversation that it happens to us a lot more than we would even think.
He's talking about the African American male, by the way.
Well, I was definitely going to clarify.
You have to do it quick, or they're going to. Because people's minds go from A to B real quick.
Well, if they're listening to an hour-long podcast, then they should be listening to every word. And that's okay, because I know how to timestamp.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That, and I don't necessarily do disclaimers, because I try to speak as precisely as I can. If it's inaccurate, then feel free to point it out. But usually, I know when I'm speaking, it's fairly on point. as much as I know I can be. But as far as I know, like, especially when it comes to African American males, boys and men, it happens a lot more often than gets reported. And there's I remember telling you there's a wonderful professor. I've been actually paying attention to his stuff for the last almost 4 years. Dr. T. Hassan Johnson is actually in his YouTube channel. He comes out and talks about, you know, how when these things happen to us, that we just kind of shrug it off. We kind of like, you know, like, hey, this, you know, like you were saying, like, this is just a wild night, you know, stuff got a little out of control, but it happened. And then we just kind of move on with our lives, because we don't necessarily think that these things can happen to us. But as a matter of fact, we're pretty, black males are pretty vulnerable to this sort of thing. So, just a little bit of edification for you. Mm. Not necessarily trying to change your mind on how you feel about the whole situation or anything like that. I'm just saying, especially for any of the listeners that are going through some stuff like that, male or female, like, it is you know, it's something that even I had to go back and reevaluate when it happened to me. And it didn't happen to me until I was an adult.
Well, since we're getting stuff like that out of the way, you remember the last time I talked to you? I might as well get this out of the way. You remember when I told you one time at State? I thought about killing myself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That was probably one of the reasons. That's probably one of the reasons why I. That was probably one of the reasons why I come home all the time, because I was just so. It was not because I was homesick. It was just that I was just. Did down and out. Grades were failing. Didn't have no friends and everything. So. One day I was like in my room and my roommate was gone because he was a track star. Not track star. He was a part of the track team and they were gone for a meet.
Well, he was a runner.
Mm-hmm. And we lived on the fourth floor.
That went right over your head.
I caught it, but I'm...
You trying to stay serious. That's fine. That's
shit. Okay. No, we stayed on the third floor and we stayed right above the air conditioning unit. And, mm-hmm. you know, and you look down and you'd be like, you start thinking of everything, like, oh, like, would I really be missed? Would the world stop just for 1 minute for me if I was gone? Or, it's like...
Most definitely.
And then the reason I stopped was because of the fact that, like, I have too much... I started thinking about all the positives in my life. I'm like, there's too much to live for. There's too much good things in my life that are outweighing the bad.
So you were able to talk yourself down off of that, I guess, proverbial ledge, technically?
Yeah.
You were able to talk yourself down off of it.
Yeah. But it did help. I did talk to some people. I didn't mention the actual incident happening, but I talked to some people when I was down at school, like some teachers and a couple of classmates who I really knew and everything. So... We kind of sat down and we talked about it. Again, I didn't tell him because D's the only person before this podcast. He was the only one who knew about it. And it's like, there is some... It's like, you have to take life for what it is. Because once you're gone, you don't get a chance to do anything you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of reminds me because I thought the same things when I went through that too.
Why are we so similar?
I mean, we grew up in the same town, in the same part of town, in the same grade,
same friend.
As two black men in America that were best friends. Like, why wouldn't we think pretty similarly?
30 years of... Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And did I ever tell you about my experience?
No.
Well, that was senior, right before, well, actually right around band camp of our senior year of high school, right before senior year started. Really it was because that summer I had went on, a leadership conference to Georgetown, and I stayed there about 2 weeks, stayed in the dorms, met all these wonderfully nice and smart people from all over the world, and I had a fucking blast. And then I came back home and I was super depressed because I'm like, I'm back here, like, why the fuck am I back here? Like, I need to be doing something else. And it just got to the point where I even started thinking about those things. Like, especially because of my home situation with my dad and everything. It's like, would anybody even miss me if I was gone? And at that time, like, I really, truly felt invisible. Because... if anybody knows me, they know my brother, and he is a showy motherfucker. He's the life of the party. Everybody gonna know he there. And me, ain't nobody gonna really notice unless you, like, truly know me. Ain't nobody gonna notice I'm there. So I started going through all those thoughts and suicidal ideations. And I even, if it would have gone on long enough, I would have probably attempted something. But by the time we got to the end of band camp, I noticed Mr. Wright, our band director, he noticed something was wrong. He noticed something was off. And he ended up telling my mom. And I really didn't know how to explain it to them. I think I explained it to them in the form of achievements and awards and other things like that. And I already know I got some strings pulled that year for me to be in a few other things, like National Science Honor Society and a couple of the awards that I won, which I appreciate. I really couldn't explain the fact that I felt this real emptiness inside of my being, and they convinced me to just keep on going. Not that the feeling went away anytime soon, but I had to find my own reason to keep going. And it really, my reason to keep going didn't have anything to do with anybody that was in my life. I was just like, I'm just going to keep going for me and see what I can do. And I just kept going. And I don't think I've ever, no, I have never had those thoughts or anything since then. It's just been clear.
Yo, shout out to Mr. Wright, man. He's one of the few good teachers out there.
Yeah, that's the OG. That is the OG.
You remember back when you used to talk to your teachers and your teachers were like the third parent?
Yeah.
I missed
it. I had quite a few teachers in high school like that.
Miss Mosley.
Mr.
Hammond.
Mr. Godwin, yeah. Mr. Hammond too, yeah.
I only knew Miss Hammond for a year. Yeah. Mr. Hammond, Mr. Wright, Mr. Crum, Principal Phillips too.
Yep.
You could talk to him. And I think a lot of people talked to him. I remember I remember that whole event when he was leaving to go to Irwin. Everybody wanted to protest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how important teachers are. So it's weird seeing how, I know we're switching topics, but I'm trying to, it's gotten dark in this show. I'm going to try to light things up. But do you notice how the fact that teachers now are more underappreciated now?
I noticed that teachers have always been underappreciated, in my opinion, just because of the pay scale. But I do notice that. But that's a whole different topic in and of itself. Like, that whole can of worms, I'm still doing research on that. I've been doing research on that the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm.
And that's like a whole can of worms in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only are the teachers not appreciated, they're not appreciated to the point where they're leaving the profession, which leaves less teachers to teach these students. But there's also something going on the other side, because a lot of parents are doing a whole lot more working and not taking time out to teach their kids some basic stuff they'll need to know before they get to school or even when they get to school. And some of those have to do with teaching them basic manners.
Oh, God.
And I'm just going to say it, that is my opinion out there, and it's out there. So if you want to come at anybody, come at me.
You are the host, after all.
And I'm a parent of 3 kids, so I'm trying my best to make sure that they know what they need to know before they get into school.
So is it different when you hear a story, well, not a story, but you hear a news story or something, or you hear about the fact that a teacher might say that a student is disruptive, but the parent takes the kid's side automatically without even talking to them?
Yeah, I've heard about that for a while.
Now that you're a parent, when you hear something like, I know your kids are great, by the way, but if you ever heard something like, you, let me say the names. If your oldest child was like, oh, she's been talking a lot in class and she's been disruptive, do you automatically say, like, not my child, she's not a talker. Do you want to, you come in there like with hands up ready for, if not a fist fight, but you know, like a verbal altercation, or do you like...
I usually treat that how I treat all those types of things, because not that this happened to my oldest yet, but if that were to happen, like I've had friends or other people tell me about my friend who I've known for years to tell me that they've done some really off the wall type stuff. And what I would do is I would listen to both sides. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't immediately take my friend's side. So I'm going to try to be as objective as possible and see what's going on. And then figure out what needs to happen after that. So, like, if the teacher were to tell me some stuff like that, I would hear her out or hear them out. And then I would go ahead and question my daughter right in front of them. It's like, okay, well, what's going on? Did you do this? Why did you do this? Or why is she saying this? Or why? Well, I say she because a lot of teachers are women, and I'm sorry. It's just a thing. So my mind just immediately goes to gender. Most teachers as women is a thing. I'm sorry. But why is your teacher saying this? So it would just be basically me being Sherlock Holmes. Okay. Trying to figure out where the truth lies and what's actually happening.
Okay. From the other side of the aisle, because my mom is a teacher, she knows how to address it. When she talks to a parent about their child, she doesn't just like, she will never use wild speculation or false accusations. She will document things. Mm-hmm. And if you know my mom, she'll be like, here's the date, the time, what he wore or what they wore, what he said exactly, who he did it to, all this down. And then you'd be like, I guess my kid was acting up in class. Yeah. Because my mom don't play. She loves her students, and she will treat you like her own kids. So she will like hold you in disregard. This happened a few months ago, but one of her own students just had his first sermon as a pastor. He invited her. So she was like, "This is my first grade teacher." She was my first grade teacher, and now she's one of the first people in my sermons.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
That's the impact teachers have on students. And I feel kind of messed up the fact that they're not getting paid and they're not being taken seriously or they're not being heard. First of all, we need to pay them, by the way.
Yeah.
I am so sick and tired of you hearing people, I know we got, I'm sick and tired of hearing teachers living a double life, living that spicy life, you know, and then it gets found out. And they tell you, like, I don't make enough for the teacher. So I have to do this extra spicy work or something like that, or take on second jobs.
Yeah, I've heard about that too.
No shame to sex workers and all that stuff. Like, I think that should, this is just me, again, my show, my personal opinion, but I think sex work should be, I think sex work should be legalized in all 50 states, and it should be regulated.
Well, I don't know. You never know. It might actually end up being that way, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, but on this side, but teachers not getting paid enough. So you got all these teachers doing this extra work, and then they find out, and then they get fired. You're not helping. Because I remember, I read a lot of news stories. This one woman, she's a mother of four, with even with her husband doing construction, they can't make ends meet. So she went and did online work. One of the students' dads found out, subscribed to her site, and still made complaints to the school. The school looked at it like, well, we're going ahead and just let you go. And they asked her, like, what's wrong? Said, I did this to make extra income. Now I need to do it. Now I have to do it full time to make ends meet.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole thing. Because teachers don't get paid really. Well, they have like different pay scales, but most teachers don't really get paid in the summertime.
And you got to make do with that. And
you got to figure out what you're going to do in the summertime and make do with either make do with what you have or get a second job. Because I knew a teacher I was very close with in high school. He was actually, I believe he was either like a registered nurse or something like that, too. Mm-hmm. So he would go and do that work during the summertime and then come back and teach.
Oh, nurses got it bad, too.
Oh, yeah, I know.
In fact,
especially now, yeah.
And the bad thing is, we're not trying to get all deep into this. Well, we could, but not. It's the fact that you increase wages, that's just going to increase the cost of living. The wage is not catching up the cost of living. You need to make about, they said a person living alone needs to make about $35,000, between $35,000 to $40,000 to live comfortably. Mm-hmm. And most people are not even hitting that mark. And then you got families who barely hit that mark. And then you're talking about family, it's about $60,000 to $70,000. And yeah, no one can hit that mark. So then we're making a situation where people have to take on jobs that probably they don't want to do, or probably jobs they don't need to, but they have to make ends meet and just to live comfortably. And then when they do, they find out. And then with some, depending on some occupations, they find out you're working a second job, they'll can you.
Oh yeah, that's it.
And then now you're even stuck on the hole. And this is why, as I just said, that this is why I have no issues with people in the sex worker, you know, adult industry or strippers or anything. I have a friend who worked. She used to be a stripper. She retired. Well, retired, but she was a nurse. But she did strip work on the side because she was. She needed to make ends meet. She was not a single mother. All those stories, all those rumors. She grew up in a nice house. She came down here. She went to college and everything. She got a degree and so she got the nursing. And she's like, I can't make ends meet just on one job. But the problem, in fact, the way, you know, nurses, they got weird hours. So she needed something that's very flexible. So she went into the strip game and she'd been doing it for 10 years. She stopped when she thinks she's made enough that she don't need it no more. So.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, speaking of which, there's something I hadn't touched on. How did you end up getting to go to strip clubs? Because in my life, I've only ever been to one. And my opinion before I went to one versus after didn't really change that much, because it was a cool place to go, but I always thought, you know, why go to a strip club? Because it's just, you know, it's just a tease.
I know.
Because I can't do anything
with
these women, so let me just not go. But I went and I had a decent time. And
now,
we left and everything, but like, what brought you to going to strip clubs?
It's because I never went when I was at home with my folks. But the minute I got my place, I was like, I might as well. The first year I got my place in 2020. Now, real talk, the first time I ever went to a club like that, I was 24.
Okay.
And it was one of those kind of itches that need to scratch, you know? It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know about these places, so let me just go ahead and just hit one of these places up just to see. And I went there, and I was like, eh, okay. But then when I got on, but I never kept going because, one, I stayed at my folks' house, and two, I didn't have any extra income at the time. Mm-hmm. That is until I got my place. And I was like, well, I did what, you know, first people who get their first apartment for the first time ever. I did the whole thing. I stayed up. I didn't clean up and all stuff. I just you know, did all the most effed up shit you could think of. Not that type of shit, but I did some messed up shit. You do when you first get your own place and everything. And the first thing that was like, man, that happened. And I remember they was having an event at the club nearby. And I was like, that's 5 minutes away. I ain't got to go. And I started saying the whole thing. Like, man, what am I Wait a minute. I stay by my damn self. I'm going. And so I just got in the car. It was like 10 minutes down the road. I'm like, okay. Went in there and paid the fee, which was like $8. Went in there. Did not bring any ones. Learned that the hard way. And just sat in the back row and I just, you know, just watched the show and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, it became a recurrent. I used to go every other month. Now I go every quarter, at least once or twice a quarter.
Okay.
Unless one of the girls I know asked me, they're like, hey, I'm coming to dance. You want to talk? Come by and see me. I said, okay. And all that stuff. So anyway, shout out to, and some of these girls are probably retired by now by the time this comes out. Shout out to, you know, Ruby, Maria, Sophia, Savannah. These are the four girls I would go see most of the time. Mm. And I don't just go just to like, ooh, naked girls, there's porn for that. But I would go just to get out of the house. You know? Mm. I would go to it would just
to be around some people.
Yeah. And the reason I mentioned those four girls, because those are the ones that actually was like, I grew to like, know and respect, basically. Well, I respect everybody, but they're the ones that kind of like pull back the veil and like just be themselves. Because for those who are like really young, when you go there, they're not interested in you for real. They just want to see if they can get you to pay for them to dance.
Mm, but plenty.
Yeah, but one of them, especially my favorite, Ruby, she, dear God, me and her are still friends now. And if he listens to this, you're my friend still, and I love you. But she was no nonsense, kick your shoes out the door. She would like kick her feet up and everything. She was like, I'm just here. I would go in there some days, and I would like, and she'd be there, and be like, hey, what's up, Ruby? She said, I'm tired as fuck. Me too. You want to sit down and talk about shit? Yeah. And we just sat down until she had to go back on stage. She'll come back down, we'll talk. And I'm like, you want to do a lap dance? And she'd be like, do I have to? And I'm like, okay, I'll like, and then she'll do it, and then she'll do it, and then I'll pay her, and all that stuff. But she was one of those kind of like, at first she'd be like, oh, it's nice to see you, but when she sees me, she's like, oh, don't play it. She's like, don't play that mess with him. Because one thing about me, when I used to go to clubs, like, I am not interested in trying to be, you know, teased at, like, what's up, big boy, and all that stuff, and what's up, big daddy, and all that stuff. Like, fuck off. I'm tired. I'm here just to get away from the outside world. My phone is on silent. I don't want to be, you know, propped up. I just want my Red Bull, my water, and I want to see a couple girls dance. And then once some of the girls figure that out, they're like, oh, I can be normal around him. That's who I'd be cool with. And then you find out some things like, they talk about, and when you sit down with them and talk to them, they can only talk about, you know, they can tease you for so long until they're like, okay, man, like, you just seem like you just want to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And then they figured out, like, oh, okay, he's actually a good person. So anytime I come in there, it's gotten so messed up that if another dancer is with a customer that's really rough and rowdy or disrespectful, they would go on stage, but if they see me come in, when they get off stage, they don't go back to the customer. They come and talk to me. Mm. And hopefully that makes that dude leave until they like feel safe to come out there and talk to someone else. I don't know how it is, but that felt awesome. Like, yeah, like, I'm a safe space. I'm a mobile safe space, I guess. But,
well, I mean, it's like what you were saying earlier when, you know, people can let their masks down, people can ease up. You know, that's something that can attract people to you, really, even if it's, you know, you're only going to be around them for a short time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't go as much as often because, like I said, most of the girls who I, you know, develop a reputation, not reputation, a reprieve,
Relationship is fine.
Yeah. I'm careful what words I use.
Relationship is something that can be developed with anybody in your life. True. We have a relationship.
I know, but you know me, I'm very selective with my words. But when they started, like, leaving, I did not want to go through the whole process of trying to know new girls and stuff like that, so I just stopped going. And I got back into other stuff. But I have traveled, been to other clubs, and there are some I like, and there's some I hate, and there's some I, like, avoid like the plague.
So what's been your most wild experience at the club?
I am so sorry, Mama, but because I know she's one of the 9 people that listen to the show. So she's like, I'm so sorry, Mama. I went to the worst ever club I've ever been to. And it was, but it was also the most cost effective, cost positive for customers I've ever been to.
A cost effective strip club.
Well, in other words, where it feels like you actually leave with more money than you are leaving other clubs. Like, you know, huh? It's more like if you walk into a normal club with $100, you might leave with like 50 or 20. I went to this club with like $50. I left with 51.
Explain how this works. How does this work?
So I went to this club, and I really don't want to give anybody bad press, but I say it's a very foxy place. And I went in there, and this place was kind of seedy and everything. It's unfortunately it fits that stereotype of what clubs you think clubs are like in the back, like backwoods, like backcountry and stuff. And I went there, and it was during the it was during a 4-day weekend I had. Anyway, I went in there. I had $50. This is after I paid off my bills. Responsibility, folks. I'm very keen on that. And I went in there, and I walked in there. The first thing I saw was a Confederate flag and a MAGA banner. I was like, oh, I don't fit in already. I don't fit in. So, and the reason I couldn't just like get in my car and hop back is because it's a good 40 minutes away. So okay. I was like, I'm here.
So you're here in the middle of nowhere with these Republican strippers.
Yep. And I was like, okay, let's do this thing, bitch. And I like, I walked in there. The bartender was nice and everything, so I paid the door fee. And 20 minutes later, like, the first 3 girls came in. I was like, that's cool, man. And in this club, they don't have a DJ. Mm-hmm. They have an old school, like, 1999 jukebox where you have to put $1 in to pay for songs. So the girls have to use their own money to, like, get their songs in order. And then they have to put it on the queue.
That sucks.
Yes. And the stage was the stage is probably, like, 7 by 5 feet. And 2 poles, and the 2 poles should not be needed because they're in their way. So they got a double dance going. If one girl gets on the pole, the other one can't even get on the main strip way.
Bag.
Anyway, so I go in there. Again, remember, I had $50. Now, the door fee was $5.
Mm-hmm.
So I downed the $45. I go talk to one of the girls. Her name was Eve at the time. And would you believe what she was? She was a Sunday school teacher.
Huh?
You heard that right, folks. She worked at a senior care center, but she also doubles as a Sunday school teacher. That's where she got the name Eve from the Bible.
Well, how the fuck did you find that out? Like, did she just tell you that stuff, or what? Huh?
Well, I'll do my detective skills. In other words, I mean, I just asked her very politely, said, "What's your name?"
And she
said,
"Batman."
The Batman. But I asked her, "What's your name?" She said, "Oh, my name's Eve." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. Where'd you get that from?" Because, you know, everybody got stage names on the dance floor. But that's cool. Where'd you get the name from? "Oh, I got it from the Bible. I'm a Sunday school teacher on Sundays." "I'm sorry, what?" I was like, "Yeah, it just fits, you know. And I was like,
Well,
anyway,
I guess.
Yeah, so we talked for a while, and even the fact the place is, I guess, MAGA heavy, she was not MAGA at all. She was more liberal. Okay. The way from what I heard. So she was going on next, and she went up there and she already had money, so she put her money in and all that stuff, and we went dancing, and the next thing I know, she wanted to do a lap dance. I wanted to do a lap dance and everything. But she left. I know this just sounds so weird. Now that I'm actually saying it out loud, it sounds weird. It sounds even more weird.
I'm over here holding on to this chair for dear life.
I know, but okay, so what happened was her purse, I guess, had a hole in it or something. So she took out her money and she was counting. She's like, here, hold this. And she gave me some of the money. I was like, what am I holding for? I said, just, I trust you, hold it. So she said, I got to go in the back and get my other purse. So she goes back, gets her other purse. 10 minutes go by. She comes out fully clothed, and she's like, I gotta go home. I was like, what's wrong? She said, my husband had an accident or something. I was like, okay. I said, here's your money. And she's like, oh. She said, you know what? I gave her the money back. And she said, you know what? You've been such a nice gentleman also. She gave me the money and left. So she gave me 6 ones for putting up with her shit. He's frozen, by the way, folks, but that did happen.
What? So, she tipped you.
I guess you want to say, I guess, tip me for being a gentleman or some of that? Honestly, I have never felt so weird and so dirty at the same time. That's the only time I ever felt dirty. I'm like, she tipped me. I didn't do anything. I just talked to her. And I guess she was having a bad day, and I guess I cheered her up or something. And she was a little old. She was a little bit older. I say she. If I'm 35, she had to be at least in her mid 40s. So I guess she was like, okay. You put up with me for this long, and so that came. We didn't do any lap dance or anything. I got to go because my husband hurt and everything. So I was just like, here's a couple ones. I'm like, okay. So I got him. So after that experience, I didn't stay. I was like, this was weird. This was very fucking weird. So. I would have left, but I stayed a little bit longer until I ran into another girl. Now, I'll tell you right now, when it comes to women, I'm attracted to women with tattoos. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you're white or black, I like long black hair, I like tattoos, but also like bubbly personality. And this girl just coming over, and she sounded peppy like a cheerleader, like, hi, you enjoying yourself, you know, stuff. And I'm like, what's your name? Oh, my name's Cherry. I was like, cool, you... How you doing? He's like, I'm having fun. Are you? I was like, yeah, but I'm thinking I'm about to leave. Oh, so soon? What about a dance? They're like, how much for a dance? She said, oh, it's only $10.
$10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, the thing about this place, now, if they find out about this place, they might check out the price. But in this particular club, the lap dance area is behind curtains, mm-hmm. which I think the old building it's in, I think it used to be the bathroom. Because it has stalls in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there, and you talk about wild. There's 4 stalls. We go to the very last one. The second stall in there, and I am not kidding, there was a dancer on her knees in front of another guy. Doing exactly what you think she was doing. giving his penis CPR with her mouth.
That's wild. That is wild.
What was wild was the fact the guy opened his eyes. He said, hey, what's up? And he just went back into a daze. I'm like.
Like, this man looked at you, head nodded, like, what's up, dude? And then went back about his business.
And she did, too. And stuff like that. And I guess they were familiar and stuff like that. And I jokingly asked her a question, like, do you want to do a lap dance? She said, sure. It's like $10. We went in there. Oh, at this part. I jokingly asked her, it's like, does that happen often? And she looked at me and says, nah, just him and her. Only on every other Saturday. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you don't see that often, but we had our dance. Nothing happened. I said, thank you. Got in my car. Left, and I haven't been back since. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but Again, I have no. I like, if that's what you want to do with your life, that have fun with it. As long as it's something that you chose to do it. I'm all about. I'm big on choice, by the way. So if you choose to do something like that, just be okay with it. Again, I'd go because of the fact it gets me out of the house. I do other things too. I go to the library. I go to, you know, go for walks. Go to the mall. Some of that. But every now and then I go, you know.
Yeah. Going for walks, I'm not gonna lie to you. Going for walks and going to the library, different than just like, hey, let me go to the club real quick.
Here's the thing, I don't feel and this is strange. I don't feel comfortable going to the normal clubs. I don't like going to. I'm from Birmingham. I don't like going to Platinum.
Yeah.
I went there a couple times. It felt so.
Well, to be honest, you go to a club in Birmingham, you bound to, you know, see a shootout anyway.
It's gotten worse, but yeah.
Yeah, you bound to probably catch a stray bullet or something.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, all the clubs, too, I don't think of another. I don't mind going to. I went to a couple bars, and they felt okay. But. It's something about when I go there, I feel at ease when I go to a club. And I've gone to two of the clubs so many times that I don't even pay the door fee. I'm not telling you who, but I don't pay the door fee anymore. They just know who I am. I gotten that memorable.
Look at that.
And I just walk in there, and I don't spend much money. I leave. In fact, it's gotten to the point where I don't spend much. Unless I actually know who you are. And it's since most of the girls I know are either retired or quit.
And no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, well, I appreciate you talking to me about all these things that you was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I said it like that, but I just...
Why you sound like a villain? Like, sound like you're about to end an episode on a cliffhanger.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Stick a fork in me, I'm done.
No more Sopranos for you. Oh, by the way, did I tell you this? Did I ever tell you how much I hate? I found out something. I uncovered a deep hatred again.
What's that?
I hate PSAs.
You hate PSAs?
Yeah, especially the old kit ones.
Wow. Why did you?
Wait? Okay, let me go ahead and do this a little. This is not a bit, folks. This is actually real. I fucking hate PSA, especially those ones way back in the 90s, and even the 80s and stuff like that, with really, which is common sense. See, I grew up, again, I'm a son of a teacher and a steel worker. I've seen these PSAs at home, because my mom will sometimes bring tapes home to watch them sometimes, and I'll watch them when she's gone to choir rehearsal or something, and I'll just watch some of these things. These are some of the, and looking back on them, they're some of the most stupidest shit and some of the dumbest kids in the world. I cannot tell you how many times it would drive me nuts, especially me at a young age who knew exactly what you were supposed to do, because they will literally beat into your head about what to do when certain situations, and these kids who's supposed to act like us don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's always the same fucking scenario, maybe tweaked a little bit depending on what the topic was. You got five kids, and it's usually one, depending on what decade you're in, he's either name was either Alan in the 80s, or Zach in the 90s. He's always had a flat top, blonde hair. He would be the skater dude or something like that. Then you had the top girl. Her name would be Brittany or something like that. And she's in the group just because of the fact that she's probably like Zach, but she ain't got no other friends because she probably hated by everybody else. Then you had the smart kid who had the 4x4, 10x10 glasses, and his name was either Drew or Dylan or something like that. And he was the nerd group guy.
I love how you're coming up with names for these.
There's a PSA somewhere out there with these names. Then you got the one black dude whose name is Jamal. It's always fucking Jamal for some reason. It's Jamal or either he be named Zach or he be something, but he has some kind of like fucked up like rap name or street name. Like, oh, my name is Jamal, but I go by J Dubs or something like that. And he's always bouncing a basketball. He's always in the sports tank top with the black shorts and all the stuff. He's always playing and all the stuff. And then you got the last girl, and she's kind of like the nerdy, I guess the counterpart to Dylan. And her name is like Ashley, but it's spelled the A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H kind of Ashley thing. And it's always the same fucking thing. They run into a situation, and you'd be like, what should I do? This older student wants me to smoke. What should I do? Say no and tell a teacher. And then some for some reason, they get dumbfounded, and then some anthropomorphic animal or some shit comes out of nowhere. It's like, hey, kids, here's what you need to do. First off, go the fuck away. And two, it's simple. Tell a teacher, say no, tell a teacher, and then let the process go. Oh, Billy the Frog, I don't know what to do. Say, kids, when you're in a situation when you don't know, ask a teacher. I just said that.
Billy the Frog.
I have no idea. I don't want to get sued, and also I'm making up a name, so it's true.
Billy the Frog sound like Barney on Promethazine.
Don't you mean on Zipic? And the reason I say that is because if the same five kids, and if, oh, don't make the black guy the leader, because then it's going to be urban and all hip. I got my arms crossed and all, you know, street like, what's wrong, Jamal? Oh, man, this older dude, he wants me to join this gang, man. He wants me to drive the New York Rough Riders or some shit like that. What should I do? Say no, tell somebody, and alert the authorities if need be. Maybe pretty not obvious. The authorities, but at least tell a parent or a guardian or adult, you know. But when he's going to beat me up, at least you told somebody, so you know, at least they can take the necessary actions to take care of it. I hate these things. And you try, and then it's even worse when you put a superhero in it. It's even worse when they put superheroes in it. Hey, Darren, let's smoke. I don't think it's a good idea. Whew. Superman. Now, kids, you know it's wrong to smoke.
It's okay, because Captain Planet is going to fix everything.
No, dude, and it'd be like, I remember one with Superman. It was a comic book. He was fighting, I think, Lex Luthor. But he saw two kids about to smoke. He stopped mid-fight to fly down there and give him a PSA. I'm going, you just going to just leave Lex Luthor up there to regain consciousness, come up with a counterattack, and then attack you. And after he gave him his spiel about smoking and stuff, guess what happens in the next panel?
Oh, Lex Luthor woke up.
He woke up and he uppercutted Superman's ass. I'm like, you dummy. You should have took him to jail first. And it's one of those things. It's like, I understand the reasoning. It's like, I hate to say it, like, I put PSAs with cheating in a relationship. I understand why. I understand how. But is it necessary? No. Y'all just do it because you think it's fun. Mm. It's baffling. It's, oh God. Oh, and depending on who it is, don't let it be about the women. I'm sorry. If it's the women thing, I have no idea because I don't watch those because that's not my gender or whatnot. But it's usually about if a guy gets too touchy or too handsy, you know, just say no and tell somebody. I'm like, no shit. But Matt, they're kids. They don't know any better. Parents. Wait. Yes. That's who's supposed to teach them manners.
This is exactly why we need teachers right here.
Why?
Make sure we know how to spell.
I do that anytime.
I know. You just double checked yourself.
I do that anytime I spell. Even if it's something simple, C-A-T, I always double check my spelling. One thing I learned from my mom, the teacher, just because you spelled it right the first time, you're going to spell it. Keep reminding yourself. Because you might spell it right the first time, you might spell it wrong the next time, and you're going to remember the time you were wrong. But for some reason, that's just, I forgot what happened. I think I was on the dark side of YouTube, and then a PSA came on. I was like, ah, shit. And then what made it worse, my controller died, and I was sleepy. I did not want to change the batteries. So I was like, fuck it. What is it, 10 minutes? Oh, I can survive it. And it was one of those old 90s commercials. I mean, 90 PSAs and stuff like that.
Wow. That's terrible.
No, what's terrible was the acting. The terrible was the message. You spent 30 minutes when you could have just immediately just had it solved in 5 minutes.
It's almost like those old infomercials.
At least those were fun. Mm-mm. Depending on what time of the night it was, you'd get those really cool infomercials. But anyway.
Set it and forget it.
Oh, you talking about that? I'm talking about the George Foreman grill.
Yeah. So, I wanted to go ahead and close out Did you have any final words of this nice little final episode that we're doing, this part two of our conversation?
You sure you want to do just two?
I don't know.
If it gets enough likes, we might do a part three.
Go ahead, like, comment, subscribe, keep listening, and hit us back up and let us know if you want another part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say all the stuff, because I got to make sure y'all do that first, and comment, and let us know. If y'all want more of these type of conversations, just let us know. We'll have another conversation.
Until the next time, folks, like I say all the time, which I understand, drink one shot of vodka a week, get plenty of rest, and try something new. Until then, bye.
Peace.